I want to welcome everyone to MomsFightingAutism.com and our webinar entitled Surviving the Holidays with Special Needs with Kim Stagliano. I am your host tonight, Nancy Bernotitis, and I'm the new host. I have a 13-year-old son with autism and two teenagers that are considered typically developing, 19 and 18 years old. They give me just as much stress as the 13-year-old. But we have run the gamut with Sam and the things that we've done for him. And so I hope to bring some of my experience here and learn a lot of things as well. Our speaker tonight, our presenter tonight, is Kim Stagliano. And she is a nationally recognized autism advocate and speaker. It says in her cover of her book here, All I Can Handle, I'm No Mother Teresa, that although autism more often affects boys, Stagliano is in the unique position of having three daughters with full-blown autism, which has made her and her family the focus of national media attention. She is the managing editor of ageofautism.com, the nation's first daily web newspaper about the autism epidemic. She writes for the Huffington Post. She is on the editorial staff of the Autism File magazine and is a feature writer for Spectrum magazine. Wow, when does she have time? She speaks at national autism conferences and has appeared on Good Morning America, ABC News, Fox News, and has been featured in the Chicago Tribune and the National Catholic Register. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you very much for having me. This is so much fun.
So glad to have you.
Great.
Hey, you know, I read your book. It took me a couple days.
Yep.
But
thank you.
I enjoyed it a lot. As I was reading it, I was jotting down how similar you and I are. We both have experienced autism.
Mm-hmm.
We've both lived in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We both love Janet Ivanovich.
Yes.
We've both had crapisodes.
Oh, I think most of us on this call have had a crapisode. We could spend 2 hours just talking about cleanup methods.
Yeah, we may have to explain later what a crapisode is, but
you don't want to. You want to know? We just spent with Stanley Steamer was at our house today, and in fact, they may still be lurking somewhere. They may not have left yet.
Oh my goodness! Send them my way. We both believe in a safe vaccine schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We both met Jenny McCarthy, Mother Warrior.
Cool.
And I think we both met her actually the same time because we were both at the same conference together.
At Autism One
in
Chicago? Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so she became my new best friend there. So I guess she became yours too.
She's a doll.
And she did the foreword for your book.
She did.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. I hope everyone runs out and gets your book. I've seen you all over the the websites and everything, promoting your book, and I think that's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful, but it's sort of what you have to do now, and gone are the days where you could write in a dark room with nobody around you and send it off to your editor, and this book would appear, and everything would be done for you. Now it's the equivalent of joining the circus, all the things you have to do to try to promote a book, and it's daunting. It really is. It's as much work as I thought, and I knew it would be a ton of work. So this is a great opportunity to connect with parents. I think the best way to promote my book is to connect with as many individual parents as I can, because that's really where my heart is, and that's what I love to do. So this is a really awesome opportunity to do that. Thank you.
You're so welcome. We're so happy to have you here. I do want to tell everyone that to log on via the Internet, you can go to www.momsfightingautism.com, and we're right on the homepage there. You can just log in and create an account for free if you don't have an account and listen to us through the website. Or you can call the number 949-333-4806, and the conference ID number is 168978#. 168978#. You can listen either way. And today we are talking about surviving the holidays with special needs. And I think if you have a child with autism, you've had holidays that were not really what you dreamed they would be.
including that dream where we wake up in a cold sweat. We've all had that one.
Exactly. So, Kim, having three daughters with autism, I'm sure you've had your share of holiday, shall we say, challenges.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can you remember back to maybe your most challenging, or were they all just pretty much?
No, it's really varied by the years. You know, when the kids are young, the gap isn't as wide as it becomes sometimes when they're older. My girls are older. I'll tell your listeners a little bit about my children. My oldest daughter is Mia, and golly, Mia turned sweet 16 on December 15th. So her birthday is always a holiday for us, and it's kind of hard this year especially because, you know, sweet 16 is such a big deal in America for our kids and the parties and, you know, some kids get a car. It's a big deal in America, and Mia has two wonderful friends who are her age who also have autism, and they're all turning 16 within a couple of weeks of each other. And we're having their birthday party at a place here in Connecticut. I live outside of Bridgeport, Connecticut, in Fairfield County, down toward New York. Uh-huh. And we're having her 16th birthday party at a place called Bounce U. And Bounce U is one of those jumping castle places.
Right. Yeah, inflatable. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it happens to be owned by a woman whose adult daughter has autism. And she opened this franchise place so that her daughter would have a place to work. So it's a beautiful story. But the other day I was thinking, God, it's Mia's 16th birthday, and there's so many, you kind of make that trip you don't want to make, the what if, and it didn't, and I don't want Mia's birthday party for 16 to be at a jumping castle place. I don't. But it is. And you know why we're doing it? Because she'll be so happy. She loves the place.
Right.
And I have to remember, it's about Mia's birthday. It's not about my expectations for her birthday. Am I going to lie and say, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. We're going, you know, we're going to get an Elmo doll and go to the jumping castle place. Of course not. It hurts me. It's sad. But I know that Mia will be happy, and I know she'll have a blast, and I'll bake her another ridiculous gluten-free cake that only she'll eat, you know. And we'll have a blast, and we'll sing happy birthday, and we'll be grateful she's here, and we'll admire her beauty, and we'll praise her progress, whether it's big or small or in between, and we'll all jump, you know, take off our shoes, jump in, and we'll have a party. So that's Mia, and that sort of ties into how we feel at the holidays as things progress. Our second child is named Gianna Marie. Gigi is 14, and she's our highest functioning child. She can speak fairly well. Mia speaks in single words primarily to make her needs known. Gigi speaks almost conversationally. She will at least answer a question. She's mainstreamed in a couple of classes. I was thrilled. She's in eighth grade. I was thrilled last year when she was upgraded to what you and I might have called, if we're a similar age, remedial math, because that was mainstreamed. So I made a joke to her teacher. You know, they were like, you know, are you okay with this? I'm like, are you kidding me? She's out of the self-contained classroom. I said, I want the bumper sticker. To heck with your honor student. My kid's in remedial math. Yeah. That's my bumper sticker. I was so thrilled for her, and she's doing the work. So, you know, that was a great day, and I'm really proud of Gianna. She's just a joy. She does have some anxiety, so that's really one of our bigger issues with Gianna.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other girls have more traditional autism issues, Gianna, I found, as her recovery goes forward, her autism symptoms have abated some, and yet her anxiety has increased at the same rate in the opposite direction. So that's something we're dealing with. And our youngest daughter is Isabella. We call her Bella. And Bella is 10, and you can probably hear my smile. She's our little joy. Bella is pre-verbal. I never say non-verbal because I think Bella has the capability to speak, and we just haven't found the right thing for her, and we will look until the day we die.
Right.
So Bella is pre-verbal. She has a couple of words. One of them that she can say quite well is mama. And you know what? If you're only going to have a couple of words, it's really good to make sure one of them is mama.
That is absolutely correct.
It accomplishes a lot. So Bella is pre-verbal. She is, I think Bella may have had a birth injury, and I think Bella's autism looks very different from her sister's. Her development was very different from her sister's. Mia and Gianna developed physically, as most of our kids do, on time. It was the speech and language and socialization that didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
But Bella's development was very different, and I am convinced, and I write about it, that Bella was a birth injury, that because it became a nonverbal issue and her sister's had autism, she got the diagnosis.
Right.
So at the end of the day, for any of us, does it really matter what label we tack onto our kids, besides maybe some services, you know, that we get? So that's a bit about my three girls and who they are. And as far as holidays over the years, as I said, when they're younger, the gap isn't that wide between three-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're all buying Little Tykes and Sesame Street and Dora the Explorer. It starts to sting when they're older and you're still buying Little Tykes and Sesame Street and Dora the Explorer. And I write about that in the book, you know, the Christmas that we're buying one more Elmo toy and my daughter's 12. It stings.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to back up and say, but this is about Mia. It's her holiday.
Right.
You know, it's not about me. And it's hard to remove ourselves sometimes, but I do find that if I can step back and just appreciate their joy on Christmas morning or, you know, during the nights of Hanukkah, whatever your holiday is that you celebrate, it makes it easier for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, just remembering what brings them joy, and that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I agree.
Yep. I do have a question that someone wrote in that's kind
sure.
of, it's the opposite of what you're saying here for us. See what your thoughts are on this. This is from
mm-hmm.
Jody in Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I have a child with moderate autism. My father-in-law does not understand the condition at all. Every year the toys and clothing he buys my son are the opposite of what I suggest for him, even though he requests suggestions. For example, I suggested that my son loves Woody from Toy Story,
mm-hmm.
and my father-in-law bought a Woody toy that's for a 9 to 18-month-old child. I have tried telling him to buy toys that are age-appropriate for a 5- to 7-year-old, but I just get ignored. My son is beginning to notice that the toys are baby toys. Any
mm-hmm.
suggestions?
Well, this is her father-in-law, is that right?
Yes, it is.
First off, I think it's extremely cool that anybody's father-in-law is buying any gift.
Exactly.
For starters. I see her point. I would venture that her level of detail as far as what her son likes and wants is very different. It's very specific. Whereas her father-in-law is probably 50, 60, 70 years old, and he goes to the store, and he's got Woody, this thing from this movie I never saw, in his head, and he sees one and doesn't differentiate between one or the other. I would, if you know it might happen, have a couple of age-appropriate toys wrapped and separate, and return the toy after Christmas, swap it out for your son, smile, say thank you, which I'm sure she does. I mean, I'm sure she's not rude about it. I see her point. A similar thing, my girls are on the gluten-free, casein-free diet. They don't eat any wheat. They don't eat any dairy. And I can't even tell you how many years we would go visit my very lovely, very lovable mother-in-law on Cape Cod, and she would say, now, tell me again, do the girls drink whole milk or skim milk? and by the sixth year of visiting for the summer vacation, you grit your teeth and you say, I'll take care of it. You know, I brought dairy free, or we just drink water. So I know exactly where she's coming from. You sort of have to smile and nod your head and sub out the gift when you can.
Yeah, I mean, those of us living it, you know, we know the ins and outs
right.
of the GFCF diet. You know, you don't
right.
even have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
But to remember back before I knew what it was.
Sure.
I wouldn't have known, you know, maybe they drink goat's milk. I don't even know, you know.
No, neither would I.
So yeah,
I didn't remember. I didn't at all. I say in the book, our first gluten-free breakfast, gluten-free, casein-free breakfast, when I finally, after a year of contemplating and avoiding it, as I say, you know, I'm Italian. Do not ask me to give up pasta. It's not happening. And I'm a milk lover. I always loved milk. My parents used to say we needed a fridge on the second floor when you were a baby, which says something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our first breakfast was potato chips and orange juice. I had to feed the kids something. I was like, all right, we're starting, and here we are, and I'm pretty sure this is gluten-free and casein-free now. Go to school and have a great day with potato chip breath. Ruffles, the breakfast of champions.
It was a start.
It was a start, you know, and it wasn't a great start, but it got me off. It got me out of the starting gate. So I proceeded from there. I got better. Tonight I made these awesome chocolate pumpkin muffins that took me 10 minutes to make. And then with the leftover half a can of pumpkin, I made a corn-based pumpkin pie filling that I baked. You know, so.
Okay, why don't you just go and brag about all your baking?
I do. I love to bake. That is my sanity. You know, some people play tennis or smoke cigarettes. I bake.
It is your therapy.
It is my therapy, right.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, let's see. You know, more along the lines of foods, as we're talking
mm-hmm.
about foods. And people are visiting families from out of town.
Yep.
And they're having to, like we did, pack.
Mm-hmm.
Some families might get their feelings hurt.
Yep.
How do you suggest people go about bringing food that's appropriate for their child without
sure.
offending family members?
Right. I remember almost coming to blows with my sister over her having put butter on the green beans at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I was just apoplectic. You put butter on the green beans. My kids can't eat butter. What olive oil? What's wrong with you? She just says, are you kidding me? What is your problem? It was horrible. I was 44 years old, and back in seventh grade, you know, it happens. Couple of things. I know when somebody comes to my house and say they have a child with a peanut allergy, you know, it's intimidating. I feel intimidated. My kids are on a special diet, but boy, when I know someone else is coming to my house and has special dietary needs, I'm nervous because I don't want to make a mistake.
Right.
So when I'm going to someone else's house, I typically say, you know, what are you serving? That's, and sometimes they ask, sometimes they don't. I'll say, all of that sounds great. My kids don't eat wheat and dairy. You know, would you mind setting aside some of the green beans so I can put olive oil on them? Would you mind using vegetable oil on the turkey instead of butter? Would that be okay? And I ask them and see how they feel about it. I am accustomed to traveling like a Bedouin. I got my stuff with me. Mostly where I go, I bring some of their food, if not all of it. I'd rather bring it and know that they're comfortable and that they're not going to have GI problems later and offend the host than eat the food and then my kids have a problem physically later.
Right.
So I would say one thing that's been great, you know, and not everybody loves to cook the way I do. Not everybody is into baking. Not everybody has the time. I'm a writer. I work from home. So this is easier for me than getting out of the house at 8 o'clock and coming home at 6 o'clock and then facing an empty kitchen. There are companies now, New Life Foods, N-U-L-I-F-E, they're making amazing gluten-free meals and shipping them. Now, are they pricey? They absolutely are. But for the holidays, for instance, it could be worth, you know, spending $100 and having several things sent to your house in advance or sent to grandma's house. You know, if you're traveling to a family member's for Hanukkah, for Christmas, order some foods, send them to the house, and then they're there waiting for you. And they're meal foods. They're not just snacky things. I mean, we can all go to Trader Joe's or Publix and get snacky foods.
Right.
But there are companies now that are making really good, shippable, gluten-free, casein-free foods that can solve, you know, I call it a staycation savior. You know, pick a week when you don't have to cook. You just order their stuff. So if it's something you can swing every so often, that might be a way to do it too. And again, people aren't being mean necessarily. Yeah, sometimes they get offended about their food. You know, your kitchen is your domain.
Right.
But again, bring it back to the kids. And usually, if you're kind of subservient's not the right word, acquiescent about it. Hey, do you mind, you know, my kids eat this way? Is there something, could you share with me? Most people are pretty good about it. And if they're not, yeah, it's more about them than anything.
Mm-hmm. What we find with my son is that packing his lunch gives him some security.
Hmm.
There's no anxiety about what's going to be served. And
yep.
I know that I have my lunch and I'm all set. And
yes.
I find that the small children at the party are jealous that he has his own packed lunch.
Mm-hmm.
They want a packed lunch too.
That's great.
Which is kind of strange, you know, that they're actually wanting the raisins instead of whatever everybody else is eating.
Yeah.
You know, they want what
Speaking of whatever everybody else is eating, that reminds me on Halloween, as long as we're talking holidays.
Uh-huh.
On Halloween, one of the when you buy those giant bags of candy at Costco or Sam's Club or something, you never you can pick the chocolate or one that's more hard candies and such. And so Gianna got a pack of Skittles. And we don't eat Skittles. We don't do artificial colors, you know, blah, blah, blah. We don't do the chewy stuff. We eat a lot of chocolate, though, so don't think we're saints by any stretch. We eat a lot of chocolate. So Gianna goes to the door, and the person hands them Skittles. And Gianna looks right at the woman. She says, "Skittles? That's junk." I just looked at the woman and said, "Happy Halloween." We turned around and we walked off.
Oh, bless her heart.
Oh, bless her heart. Yeah, that's about the only thing you can say. Skittles says junk. She does that in stores, too. Like if you're at Costco and she sees someone buying a giant box of Doritos, she'll say, "That's junk. That's garbage." And if she sees the fruit snacks, she'll say, "You got to go to the dentist."
Yeah. Painfully honest, aren't they?
They are honest, and it's part of the beauty.
Right. In looking at our children, you know, being around people that they're not typically around many times at these holiday events, kids that they're not used to trying to play with. Liz from Cairo, Michigan, has posed a question here that's very common. How can you assist outsiders, you know, non-immediate family members, and understanding that your autistic child might not want to participate like the other children at social events, especially family?
It's such a hard question because I never want to single out my children unnecessarily, but there are times when it's important that people's expectations are in keeping with what the kids can do. So it's a fine line to walk. If it's family members we don't see a lot, I can be a little bit more open. You know, if it's strangers, if you're at a neighborhood party, for instance, and it's your next-door neighbor and they've invited a number of people you really don't know, you know, I hate to just sit there and announce, "My child has autism." I mean, you feel like a dummy doing that. But sometimes you have to. My kids typically will do their own thing anyway. So with technology now, we have 2 eye touches, so Mia and Gianna are kind of busy on that. So they look a lot like the other kids. I mean, even my typical nieces and nephews, when they come over, they bring a laptop, they bring an eye touch, they bring they got the earphones in, you don't hear from them all day. So technology, I think, has helped the kids look as typical as can be. They don't have to know that Mia at 16, almost 16, is watching, you know, Martha Speaks from PBS, whereas the other 16-year-old is watching, you know, a movie. And as far as telling the other people, I think when you if it's an issue for your child, if it would make your child uncomfortable, you shouldn't. You sort of have to gauge the crowd, like anything, and see what they're like. If your child has behaviors, I think it's worth mentioning so you don't get stared down at what should be a happy event. Make a suggestion, you know, whisper to an adult, "Hey, you know, just wanted to let you know." And as far as children, I find children are the most open to learning. I mean, when we're out, you know, I always see the little kids. It makes me happy and it makes me cringe at the same time. The little kids, they notice my kids' differences immediately. You can tell.
Right.
They turn, they look. They turn, you know, they look again. You can see the little wheels in their heads turning. This person is different, and I don't know what it is. And I have no problem saying, "Hi, this is." I've gone into their classroom when Bella was in kindergarten. This is, you know, my daughter is Bella. Bella doesn't speak, but she understands everything you say. You know, try to present the positive things your child can do, and the things that are equal. I've said to children, you know, as young as preschool, you know how you know, if there's a child, like hopefully there's a child with glasses. You know how you wear glasses because your eyes need some help? Well, you know, Bella's voice needs some help. There isn't anything like glasses, so Bella's not able to speak yet, but she's learning. Okay, that relaxes them. They get it. You can speak to kids pretty openly, and they will respond. If a kid is a jerk to your kid, that happens too. I try not to bite the heads off small children.
It's not easy, is it?
I sometimes bite the heads off adults, though.
Yeah.
It's known to happen, you know.
Does Bella have a communication device she uses?
Bella has an iPad,
mm-hmm.
but this is kind of interesting. We had a situation last year. I don't know if any of your listeners have read the book and read right through to the last page. Have you finished the book, Nancy? I don't remember.
Oh, you have?
Okay. Well, you know the last page. If you are reading the book, folks who are on the call, you know, go right to the end, because I had to add a few pages at the end. We had a situation last year where Isabella was physically injured on her school bus by the bus monitor. Okay, and it happened several times, and she was spraining Isabella's hand. And we have a criminal case pending in the courts in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So because of that, we ramped up her communication goals significantly. And Mark and I ran out and bought her an iPad. And what we learned was, if your children, like mine, you know, my kids are a little bit older, where my youngest is 10, my kids learn to use the picture exchange system, PECS.
Right.
And can you hear the Velcro in your head? Yes, I know
yes.
You can. You know,
uh-huh.
The books, the Trapper Keeper from Hell, you know, it's 17 inches wide because you've got so many of those laminated pages with those Velcro pictures on it. Well, the picture exchange system is, if you think about the physical use of it, the child learns how to use a pincer grip to grab the card, pull it up off the Velcro, and physically hand it to the person, the teacher, the para, whoever it might be. That's the physical use of the picture exchange system. With the new technology, the apps on whether an iTouch or an iPhone, you're pointing with a finger. And Bella doesn't have the capability and the fine motor skills yet to point with her finger with any degree of specificity. So we're having to go right back to learning how to point before
wow.
she can use the iPad. She has another device that has a grid system, you know, a big plastic grid, so her finger goes in it, and we're doing that. And she is really quickly picking it up. And we're going to phase out her PECS book and phase in the talking device, and then from there phase up to the iPad.
It is steps, isn't it?
It is steps, and it didn't even occur to me. The school district brought in a fantastic assistive tech expert, and when she explained it to me, it was one of those aha moments where you bonk your forehead with the palm of your hand and go, my God, of course. You know, here we've been teaching this child, and you know how hard it is to unteach. You know, when our kids learn something, the good news is they learn it. So, and unteaching is really hard. So we're trying to do that with Bella, and we will. We've already had some success, so I know we'll get it. But it was something I had never considered, that text format is really becoming outdated as technology is moving to touchscreen.
Right.
Something to consider for the parents of younger kids. It's really something to keep in mind.
Now, how about sign language? Had you tried
Bella
that?
Signs. She does sign a little bit. She does. She signs I want. A couple of months ago, she waved goodbye for the first time. I was tucking her in. It's in the book. I was tucking her in, and, you know, after years of, you know, good night, Bella, I love you, and waving, you know,
yeah.
like you're in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you know, you're waving like you're bringing in an airplane to make sure she sees you're waving. She looked at me, and she her hand went back and forth, and she waved. It was the greatest thing. So she is learning. She can sign more, I want, waving, and she can say hello, and she can say mama. And,
mm-hmm.
And we've heard lots of sounds from her. We just don't have them consistently yet. But they're there. They're emerging. Isn't that the right word? Emerging.
Emerging.
Skill.
That is a very good word. It's language emerging.
Emerging, right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Moving on in the same realm with family members and behaviors and things, Kim in Bealton writes, how can you stay positive when you know family members don't support the way you handle your child with autism?
Kim. It's hard. There's no, I don't know that you have to. If they're, just because they're family, if they're in your way of doing what you need to do for your child, avoid them as much as you can. And when you're with them, try to show them the benefits of what you're doing. You know, I suppose if they see progress in your child, they might understand it. But I know situations where they just don't get it at all. I've had situations in my own family where it's not out of a place of being mean, but they don't have to deal with it, so it just doesn't make any sense to them. I think we have a lot of stress in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of agita, which is Italian for heartburn. And we need to surround ourselves with the positive. And if someone is really, really harming what you have to do for your child, emotionally, spiritually, physically, try to back off until you can. You know, your job is to help your child. You're not supposed to have to help everybody else support you, and it's darn hard when that happens, and I think it happens to all of us, and it's heartbreaking, but I know a lot of families who just make that choice and say, you know what, I can't visit my mother-in-law right now because I just have to do what I have to do for John, and she's sabotaging me.
Right. Lacey in Roxborough, North Carolina says, my family still does not understand autism, and he is 6 years old, but they treat him like he is a baby. Or not as smart as my other child. Should I say something to them or just let it go?
You could hit them in the head with my book.
That's a start. It's a wake-up call for you.
Think pink, bonk. Yeah, it's your child. Yes, you have every right to defend your child just the way a parent of a neurotypical child would. Why not? Why not? And mostly I find that comes from a place of not stupidity and not malignant ignorance, but just genuine, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think quiet means dumb. Well, if he can't talk, you know, how much can he know? I've never heard him say anything.
Yeah.
A child might be, you know, reciting pi to 26,000 digits in his head. They don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, I think one thing I tried very hard, the reason I wrote my book, I didn't want to write it. I've been asked for years to write it. I wasn't ready to write it. And I saw no reason why anybody would give a rat's patootie about reading our story. Until I realized I could do it in a funny way, in a very humorous way. My book is very funny. I mean, yes, it's autism, but that's what's unique about this book. You will laugh throughout this book. Yes, you'll cry a little bit. Yes, you'll, you know, as an autism parent, your heart will get hit with an arrow a lot because you'll relate, but you laugh. And the real reason I did that wasn't so much for, well, it was twofold. It was for our community because God knows we need humor. We need to laugh. You know, life gets tough. We've got crap episodes. We've got IEP meetings, you know, family events like this. I mean, we're just constantly hit with not measuring up. We're constantly reminded of how our children don't measure up, you know, to this norm that's supposed to be. And I think we need to laugh and realize we're not alone, and there's a whole bunch of us going through the same stuff. And my book does that for the autism community, but I'm really hoping this book takes off outside of the community. That a mom, you know, like I could give this mom this book to a friend who's sort of been distant, and she'll read it and she'll say, really? That's what you go through? Wow. But she will have been laughing so hard through the whole thing that she'll get to the end. And maybe she'll understand better when she gets a phone call from you and you just can't go out, you know, with the girls on a Friday night because of the situation at home. I'm hoping it brings understanding to people, excuse me, outside the autism community. I call it my spoonful of sugar approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a whole bunch of pastry wrapped around kind of a bitter pill, but the humor seems to be so far working that people will read it and then will understand your life better. Teachers, paras. I mean, teachers work with our kids every day, but they don't go home with them.
It's true.
They don't know what happens
at
3:20.
Is a coping mechanism.
it is for me. You know, we all have our own style. You know, there are a lot of books written by autism moms that are very poignant and piercing and sad because that's the writing style. I could write a recipe, and I would find a way to make it funny. I mean, it's just my voice. You know, writers have voices, and I can't. Most of us can't really switch too dramatically between voices. So that was my approach. And when I realized I could do it that way, it seemed less about me and my family, although we're the the crux of it, and more about the community and how we could maybe get other people to start waving our arms up in the air and saying, this is an epidemic. This is bad. This is hard. We need help. We need services. You know, my guy's 5. Well, my guy's 25, and there's nothing. We need to send out, you know, the bat signal. And that's what I'm hoping. I know I must be insane, right? But that's what I'm hoping this book, in some small way, will do.
Well, with the numbers being what they are, everyone is eventually going to know someone with autism.
Can I tell you how many people? I mean, it's almost becoming eerie. I flew to Tampa this week for the National Autism Association conference,
uh-huh.
And on the airplane, my seatmate was a woman from this area, from New York, and her daughter worked with Margaret Bauman at Ladders in Boston. Her daughter's a speech therapist, works for the autism population. And then I got to a television station for a taping, and there was a famous rock band there called the Doobie Brothers, which was so cool. They were in the green. They were in the green room, and we started chatting. And someone affiliated with the group I chatted with toward the end, and that person had a son with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I got into a cab, and my sister-in-law's son. I mean, I can't strike up a conversation with somebody anymore without them having a direct line, not this Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation stuff.
Right.
Really close. So
happened to me in the BMV line.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And don't you recognize children when you're out in public?
Oh, yeah.
I can spot them a mile away.
Yeah. It's like GADAR, except it's for autism.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. OCDAR. I don't know what we can call it.
It needs its own little catchphrase. We'll come up with something.
We do. We need something. Absolutely. That's why I love this, you know, better diagnosis. Well, it's just better diagnosis. You know, it's just diagnostic substitution and better diagnosis. I'm like, you know, you couldn't mistake autism for anything else in many of these kids. You know,
right.
You just couldn't. You can see them in the mall. It's hard when you see them and you're young, they're really young, and you know that mom hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
And you know the road they haven't
Send up a little prayer. Send up a little prayer.
Yeah. Well, Lucy from Jessup, Pennsylvania writes, "Every year my adult daughter has so much anxiety over the holidays. She does a lot of yelling, cursing, and crying. Mm-hmm. Don't we all feel her pain?" Mm-hmm. She says, "What can we do to help her get through the holidays without these behaviors? She puts so much stress on the rest of the family. Thank you."
Mm-hmm. Well, she mentions, hi, Lucy, I'm Kim. She mentions that the daughter is an adult.
Yeah.
I would venture that the holidays are a big change. I don't know. Not having any information, you know, if the young woman, maybe lives outside of the home and is being brought to a different place for the holidays, that can be stressful. And certainly the holidays are just stressful for all of us. So imagine for what I call our wonderful creatures of habit, which our children tend to be, how much more so it is. I think social stories work no matter what the age. Preparation. We need to come up with a tube of something called Preparation A for autism.
How about social stories?
We do. Not as formally as we used to any longer. My kids are pretty good with transition. We've moved umpteen times in the last 5 years. When my husband lost his job, we moved hither and yon. You'll read about it. So they're pretty good with and they've always been pretty good with transition. But we owe them the courtesy of telling them what's coming. So we try to use social stories, pictures. You know, it can be showing this woman holiday pictures, maybe things she likes about the holiday, and then just dialing it back for her. You know, if you had a family member who was an adult who couldn't swim, you wouldn't throw them into the pool just because the family was having a pool party.
Right.
You know, you'd say, you know what, the pool was there. You're welcome to stay in the house if that water scares you. So you have to respect what they need. And oftentimes that means changing how the holiday looks. It just does.
I know that I personally like to know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
When I go into a training or a workshop, I like when the presenter says, first we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to break for lunch. And I like
Same.
To know what's coming. Why wouldn't
Right.
our kids want to know the same thing?
Of course. I mean, I think back, I dreaded the first day of school and the second day of school. I hated it. And I realized as I was in college, and I still hated the first, it wasn't just elementary school jitters, I didn't like not knowing where is my classroom, how long will it take me to walk there,
mm-hmm.
will I get there on time? And I had tremendous anxiety over that, not that it didn't affect my day in a bit, but I remember that feeling of I'll be fine next week once I know the lay of the land.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And they already have such heightened anxiety.
Yes.
I know that's true with my son, that
yep.
he's already on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't
right.
do something to help him cope, he's
yep.
going to fall right over.
And the holidays can be loud. So if there are sensory issues, you know, the holidays bring music and get-togethers and family members. And sometimes, I don't know about your family holidays, but I can recall as a child some of ours getting louder and louder as the day progressed and the wine bottles got a little lower.
Right.
They just do. The lights are different. The music is different. The smells may be different in the house. To us, it all may be wonderful, but to somebody on the spectrum, it may all be very foreign, and it may relate to a single memory from long ago that is lodged in the brain and cause, you know, terrible anxiety. So, It's not easy, but you have to sort of put that person first
and
try to melt.
And it's a long
no.
day.
All of them are long. You know, that's a really good point. You know, it is a long day. Christmas morning till Christmas night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of time. So I would say maybe bring things that woman enjoys doing. If it's books, if it's a headset with her own soft music, her own foods. Things that will make her feel at home and comfortable. And if it gets really difficult, maybe try to find someone who could go home with her and have her not be, you know, take a bite instead of a plateful for her.
Yeah. Yeah, and whatever happened to nap time?
Oh, don't you miss that? Remember those
last
if you only knew it was the last nap, you'd have had a funeral, wouldn't you? And then the
yeah.
next day it just doesn't happen. Oh.
I really miss that midday. My son and I need to go rest now so we can enjoy the rest of the day.
Yep.
And I don't get away with that anymore because he is 13.
Yep. I miss naps so much. I used to, on a Sunday, remember before you had kids, and on a Sunday and you could read the paper and eat and drink and have coffee, and then at 2 o'clock say, yeah, I'm just going to go take a nap. I'll be up at 4. Ugh.
Yeah. And during the holiday, that day itself is just the perfect time to take a midday break.
Absolutely. Yep.
Go take a siesta.
Yep.
You know, my son already does that kind of for himself. He'll take his video player and he'll go find a quiet place.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But I miss the excuse for myself because I need that too.
I do too.
In talking about,
I get very grumpy when I'm tired. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Long days and traveling. Mary G. from Kendleton, New Jersey writes, my grandson is 4.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some ideas to help him and his parents endure the long 5-hour air travel to come visit you during the holidays? What can they do on the airplane other than watching video or iPad?
First off, I love warrior grandparents. I love grandparents who are this involved in their daughter, son, grandchild's life. They're just amazing. Well, I don't recommend sleeping with Uncle Ben, which is what we call the Tylenol Benadryl mix. we can't recommend that. 5 hours is a long time. Snacks? Yes, you're limited. I mean, it almost has to be the video. If he colors, anything compact that you can bring on board. I think when you fly, you are in a very tiny, enclosed structure with people who are guaranteed to be jerks. So you have to do anything and everything. And if it means watching the same Bob the Builder video for 5 hours straight, but the child is content, do it.
Have you traveled with your girls? Like,
yes.
Flying. Did you ever take advantage of that? Get on before everyone else, get off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a lifesaver.
It's a lifesaver. I recommend wearing a shirt that says the name of your favorite autism organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one thing about our kids is they look typical. In fact, our kids, I find, are typically outstandingly beautiful, almost impossibly good-looking.
Right.
So if you were to board the plane with a 9-year-old with Down syndrome, you'll get a plane full of smiles.
Uh-huh.
And if the child acts up, you'll get some tisks, and you'll get, oh, you know, isn't she a saint? And, yeah, you'll get some people humming and, you know, the eye roll. But, boy, when you get on with a child as beautiful as one of mine and they act up, or Mia sucking her thumb coming down the aisle, you get nothing but stares.
Right.
And they're automatically disliking you. So I find, wear a T-shirt, wear a sweatshirt that says the name of your favorite autism org. National Autism Association has some beautiful T-shirts for the kids, if you're
mm-hmm.
comfortable doing that. Not everybody is. You know, not everybody wants to call attention to it. It can help, though, if you're willing to set that aside for a flight. Flight attendants smile, they're a little nicer. They may be afraid of what to expect because, you know, the media, you hear only the horror stories, of course. So when you get on board, hi, this is Jake, and I don't yell it in front of my kids, but I might say, hi, this is Mia and Gianna and Bella, and I'll whisper to the flight attendant, the girls have autism. We expect a perfectly smooth flight, but if I need some help or anything, could I call you? Would that be okay? And the flight attendants always say yes, you know.
Right.
And then we bring out our clown car of a carry-on bag, and it has all their favorite things in it. You know, just keep pulling them out, like that scarf that never ends coming out of the magician's sleeve, and pray you don't run out.
Before
try to plan nap time. We use melatonin for sleep. I don't know if many
yeah.
of your listeners use melatonin for sleep. So if you've got a 5-hour plane ride, and melatonin does work. You know, when you go for an EEG, you do a little sleep deprivation the night before so that they're tired. That's not going to land you in front of child services.
Really?
Wake them up extra early, a spray of melatonin, and maybe he'll fall asleep for a couple of the hours. It's safe. It's legal. It's over-the-counter. That might be an option.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Well, am I going to see the police outside of my door coming?
Probably.
Oh, God. Well, they've been here before. Nothing new here.
I was trying to find appropriate shirts for my son when we traveled, and I ended up going online and making him one.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, staring at me won't cure my autism. I love that shirt.
That is a great shirt.
Because it gets the point across.
Yeah, it does.
It gets the point across.
Right. And NAA has some beautiful kids' shirts that are hopeful and pleasant and happy. You know, one of them says, it's a cute little dinosaur, and it says, boy, a cure for autism would be dynamite. You know, it's adorable. So it makes people smile. It puts them at ease, but it gets the point across. And I also recommend if you're flying to put, you know, just get labels, if you don't, like address labels that you would use for an envelope, you know, computer printout labels, and put your child's name and your cell phone number and diagnosis again, and just, I put it on the back of their shirt where they can't see it or feel it, so that if you're separated, there's something on the child. We did lose Mia. We went to Disney World in 2007, and by we, I mean my husband lost me at the airport. Yeah, uh-huh, that was fun. And she was about 3 steps away from getting onto one of those trams that whisks you away to another terminal.
Oh, boy.
So I would suggest, you know, there are most of the autism orgs have bracelets. My kids won't wear a bracelet. They just won't. You know. So at least when you're traveling, an affordable thing to do is just slap that sticker on the back. Give them a big old hug. Oh, sweetie, I love you. Tap, tap, tap. Put a sticker on the back. And hope they don't know. You know. So
we took a medical alert bracelet for Sam.
Yep.
And his grandpa has a pacemaker, so getting him a bracelet that matched grandpa's was just
great.
Out of this world. He loves it.
Perfect.
And
yeah,
it's got one of those
whatever
clasps,
works for you.
Yeah, it's got one of those clasps on it that he cannot remove himself.
Got it.
He just pretty much wears it 24/7. It's part of him now. He's gotten
pretty
used to it.
That's
and
great.
Sometimes he'll say, you know, he'll ask you, what does this say?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read it to him, and he just goes on with life. But I say, label everything, label the kid.
Yep.
They have those tattoos.
The tattoos,
put on. So, yeah, whatever it takes, especially you with three. Whoa.
Oh, yeah, we're, you know, and inevitably, you know, it's like they have this little trick, you know. I'll go left. Mia, you run off to the right. Bella, you go straight ahead. We'll see which one she saves first. Let's see who she loves more.
Who she loves
which one
more.
Is she gonna? Which one is she gonna grab? You know, and you just stand there like in the middle. Someone said to me the other day, "Do you guys go? Do we live on the beach? You know, we live right on Long Island Sound, a couple miles from the beach. Someone said, you know, do you go to the beach in the summer? Are you kidding me? Yeah, Mia runs north. Gianna runs south. Bella runs straight for the waves. No, I would need a team to get them to the beach and home safely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary.
It is.
Very
safety
scary.
First, you know. My sense, my level of, what did I do last week? I did something. I don't know what it was. Oh, when I was on this TV thing. You know, you have to run a microphone up your back when you're on television. That's how they do the microphone. And I wore a dress. Usually you wear a sweater or something and it clips right to your back. So the cameraman said, or the mic guy, whatever they call him, the boom guy, whatever, said, you know, we're going to have to run this. You know, do you mind taking this? Would you, ma'am, run it up your dress? And, the hostess was like, do you want to go to the bathroom and do that? I'm like, I am an autism mom. There's nothing. Are you kidding me? There's nothing that could embarrass me. I didn't hike my dress up over my, my hips or anything. But I did bend over, and I stuck the thing up, and I got it up to my neck, and I pulled it out. My level of embarrassment is nil now, thanks to my children, because I've had to set it aside on numerous occasions for their safety. I mean, plain and simple. Yeah. It's not for vanity. It's to keep them alive.
Well, I have to tell you, my favorite story from your book is the one where you gave your daughter your underwear.
I did. A good friend will give you the shirt off her back. A good mom will give her child her underwear.
And that is the absolute truth. I was like, I love you, Kim.
Oh, thank you.
True.
We should probably explain that. My daughter, I'll explain what that was from the book. Mia had a sinus infection, and I took her to the urgent care center, and I don't know about your kids, but when mine gets sick, sometimes they can't feel when they have to go to the bathroom, and so she kept saying, go to the bathroom, and we went to the bathroom and nothing, and then we sat down again in the waiting room, and she said again, go to the bathroom, and when she stood up, she was a little bit wet in her pants, I noticed, and I felt for her. I didn't want her to be embarrassed. We went into the bathroom. And, again, I don't know about your kids and their sensory issues, but when Mia especially is wet, she takes her clothes off. Oh, that's it. They don't say, oh, wet means go away. So she started peeling off her clothes in this tiny bathroom. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, now what do I do? And then I realized I have dry underwear on. I took off my jeans. Mia's about my size, and at this point, I didn't care. I took off my jeans, I took off my underwear, and I gave Mia my underwear, and I put her wet underwear on my coach handbag. I put my jeans back on, very carefully zipped up, and off we went to our appointment.
I can't tell you how many
times. Solution solved. Problem solved. That was it. Everybody was happy. That's it. That's all you need.
That's what a mom does.
Is everybody happy? That's what a mom does, absolutely.
I can't tell you how many times Sam has come home from Grandma's house wearing Grandma's underwear. So it must be just one of those things that instinctively we do.
That's it. You've got to help your kid,
That's right. Oh, so you're out in public with your child, maybe at the airport or someplace, and Lacey asks, how do you handle when a person comes up to your child and asks, what do you want from Santa? Of course, he will not answer. Do I answer for him? say he has autism and really will not talk to you. Sometimes he may answer, but it will not be the right thing to say. What do I do? Thanks.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I've come across this.
Yep, I have too. I usually answer, but I don't answer for the child. I typically tell the person. It depends which of my children they ask, of course.
Right.
If it's Gianna, I mean, people aren't dumb. If I turn to Gianna, who can speak and could answer the question, but maybe won't, I will turn to Gianna and I will say, Mrs. Smith or the lady wants to know, Geech. I talk like an adult. Can you tell the nice lady what you want from Santa Claus? And most people, with an IQ over 80 can pick up, something's going on here. So, or I will say, usually, always, Gianna's not being rude. She may not answer you. She's not being rude. And quietly, Gianna has autism. People are fine with that. Bella doesn't speak, really. She's pre-verbal. So I explained for her. And I said, Bella's learning how to speak, but I think Bella probably wants, such and such. And just smile and go about your day and leave them standing there.
Mm-hmm. I think the days are over where people will take a step away when you say, my child has autism. I've had that happen.
Not many people are confusing with AIDS any longer, are they? It's kind
no.
of a good thing.
No, it's happened to me before, and I thought,
oy.
What are you thinking?
Wow. Wow.
So I haven't had it happen.
They're embarrassed. They're
embarrassed.
They don't know what to do, so their instinct is to run. Isn't that depressing?
We use a lot of humor to get through those situations.
Oy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, speaking of Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
We have several people asking the question, how do you get your child to sit with Santa? How do I get my mildly autistic daughter to take a decent holiday picture with Santa? Santa, Santa, Santa.
Santa, Santa, Santa. Yeah, I see Lucy here in Brooklyn, New York. How did you get your daughter? Lucy, how do you know I got my daughter to sit with Santa? Aha! I have many pictures of the girls as toddlers sliding off Santa's lap. And I finally decided that the picture with Santa was for me. My girls didn't give a rat's, what, about sitting on Santa's lap. So I have some. They're not. I actually have one of Mia when she was a toddler that I put into a little Lennox holiday picture frame, and I pack it with my Christmas decorations, and I bring it out every year, and it's always out at Christmas time. But she's a toddler. She's really little. I don't know if you can – I don't think you can make any child sit on Santa's lap. You might let them bring their lovey, Elmo doll or a blankie or whatever ratchets them down. You might use a product that's at natural food stores called Rescue Remedy by Bach, and it lowers anxiety in a quick spray, and maybe you could lower their anxiety a bit if they're afraid. And sometimes you just don't have to have the picture with Santa. I mean, is it so you can send it to Grandma and prove that the child sat on his lap? Or is it because it's going to bring joy? I mean, the whole point of seeing Santa is the kid wants to see Santa, and it's exciting and it's joyful. So if that part isn't there, you could go to the mall before Santa gets there and hang out for a bit. Maybe you have to go to the mall 5 days in a row before Santa shows up at 10, show up at 9 if you can. Ask the mall management, is there a time when the throne's empty? I want to practice with my child. And let them practice sitting on your lap on the throne. Break it down into steps. Either way, it's going to be a ton of work, and you have to wait. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Yeah, I would love a picture of my girls with Santa. I get it. But I pick my battles. And fortunately, mine are old enough now that I can say, I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
Even though I'd still love to have one.
Do you happen to have in your community something called Sensitive Santa?
No. What is that?
I started one here in our local community, and the mall that owns our local mall has adopted it for all 30 of their malls. It is a special time when the mall is closed that the regular Santa is there, and he will be open and accepting to kids with special needs.
Wow. What mall chain is that? Do you know?
The Glimcher.
Oh, we don't have. I don't think we have those here. We have Westfield and Simon. Wow.
The Dayton Mall started it, Dayton, Ohio Mall,
yep.
And it's spreading to all 30 of their malls because they just thought it was such a neat idea.
Well, you know, with the numbers that are out there, it's a great idea, Nancy. I love that.
Yeah. So.
And funny, we're talking about this. I have a picture in my book of Mia sitting on Santa's lap. But guess what? We brought him. This is back before autism wiped us out financially, as it does to most of us.
Yeah.
I hired the mall Santa to come to our house for her birthday party because she had that December birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sitting on his lap. She doesn't look thrilled. She's holding, let's see, Poe. Remember the Teletubby Poe? She's holding Poe and Blue's Clues in her lap, and she's just looking like, really, Mom? Is this what you need? Is this really what you want me to do?
Well, I have a feeling that everybody's mall would be open to this if they just knew it was a need.
Is it, who does the training? How did you set that up? Is it formal training that they do?
Not really. Now, there are Santa Americas across the country that can be specially trained. And we do have a Santa America Santa volunteer that comes to our holiday party each year.
Wow.
But this is just your regular, typical mall Santa.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, just the whole crash course, you know, don't be loud, don't ho-ho-ho,
right.
ho,
right.
no music.
Right. That's
give
awesome.
Them time, and it always goes so well. And the mall pays for each child to get a free portrait.
Nice.
And it's just such a nice time.
I love that.
For families
Sensitive
to have the run
Santa.
Of the mall.
Yep.
Nobody else is there. We ride the elevator about 50 times.
we'd stand and look at the fountain. That would be our thing. That's almost like the movie theaters that run a sensory movie where they turn down the volume, they keep the lights up a little bit, they let you bring your own snacks, same kind of thing. Oh, I love that idea. My mother works at a Simon Mall in Massachusetts, and I'm going to mention that to her. Maybe they could start that next year.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to approach their local mall and say, hey, take a look at this. This is what we need.
Absolutely.
And
that's a great idea.
I don't see any reason they would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that is one possible solution.
Yep.
But, yeah, just like you said, going when it's quiet, approach mall staff and say, can we just sit in the chair for just a minute right now? I don't see why they would say no.
And sometimes, I know my kids are in public school, but in the elementary school, in the SRP room, which is what they call the autism program, the specialized resource program, at Christmas time, they bring in Santa.
Oh, yeah.
Into the classroom. And they send him a note. Beforehand, you know, would you like your child to sit with Santa? Would you not? You know, obviously not everybody is Christian, so they give the parents the option. It's not a requirement. And so we have gotten pictures of the girls with Santa right at school, so their para is with them. I always have a holiday picture of their para, which is nice. And it does make it easier. So that may even be something, too, if you have an autism classroom. Maybe they could invite a Santa in. And then the school has the behavior techniques and such, and the child's already in a familiar place.
Right. I think that's part of the problem with the mall is the people, the lights,
Think about it. Sure. It's chaos.
Ours had these scary animated creatures. They were scaring me.
mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, looking at it from his point of view, no wonder he was freaking out.
Sure.
So, okay, talking about the communication device that Bella uses, the iPad, iPad, okay.
Yep.
It's the bigger then.
It's the bigger, right.
Okay. We got Sam the iPod Touch, so basically the smaller version of the iPad.
Yeah, that's what me and Gianna have.
Ah. Julie from Sydney, Australia writes, hi, Kim. What apps would you recommend for my daughter who is getting an iPod Touch for Christmas this year? She has very, very minimal speech, but really only family understands it.
Mm-hmm.
She understands everything said and going on. Any websites you could recommend to look at, apps suited for our kids? And she says, great to listen to you from Sydney, Australia.
Well, hello, Sydney, Australia, in the house. Hello, Sydney.
In the house.
Yeah, it's very cool. I think there's a Facebook group about autism apps. Again, it depends on where your child is. Now, we downloaded a number of apps for Bella because we need to teach Bella to point with her finger at the iPad. So we downloaded a Sesame Street counting app. You have to press the buttons. We downloaded an ABC app where you have to press the letter to make it say the letter's name. We downloaded Bubble Wrap. I mean, who doesn't love Bubble Wrap? We all do. Sometimes Bella doesn't get the iPad because I'm using it. Pop, 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 pop. That is fun, and it encourages her to point. So we don't have a lot of apps that would be higher level. I do happen to work with two wonderful guys. You know, it's the autism parents who seem to solve most of our problems from within the community, which is very cool. Their names are Dan and Robert Tedesco. They live here in Connecticut, and they have a company called Hand Hold Adaptive. And tomorrow, actually, we're having a contest on Age of Autism, and I didn't mean this to be a plug, but I just realized I put up a post tonight. They have an app called Autism Track that's brand new, and it allows you to track ABA style any data at all, meds, diet, behavior, school, in a super easy app. It's called Autism Track. It's from Handhold Adaptive. And they also have an app called iPrompt, which is a prompting app. So that might be something to look at. Again, it's on Hand Hold Adaptive.
And Google
them.
Seen
I'm
that.
Like, yep.
Yeah, I've
yep.
Seen
they're
that.
On. They're on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to the iStore to buy the iPad, they handed us an article that they hand on autism and apps right at the Apple Store. That was kind of cool. It was really specific for your child. So it's kind of hard for me to recommend them. We're extremely basic right now. I would say certainly just pick the things that are fun for your child and will amuse her as well. You know, me and Gianna have PBS Kids. They have SpongeBob. Mia calls SpongeBob yellow cheese. I love that. When she sees him, Mia has sort of the autism voice, and it's low, and she looks at him and she says, yellow cheese. Like, Mia's got SpongeBob. She's like, yellow cheese. I'm like, all right, yellow cheese. You know, I am never going to get her to call SpongeBob. Occasionally she'll say SpongeBob, yellow cheese. So she likes SpongeBob.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the handhold adapter, we have an iPad or an iPod Touch. We have both,
uh-huh.
actually, but Sam's communication device is the iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, he wanted to push it instead of just tapping.
Yes.
Because he's used to
yes.
the keyboard where you
yes.
push buttons.
Yep.
And it did take him a long time to understand the tapping and
yeah.
the scrolling.
Yes.
The moving the page up and down with your scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's gotten that, when I let him play with my laptop, he touches the screen. He's trying to get it
right.
to work.
Right.
So having him switch back and forth between the two is confusing him a bit.
Yes.
But it's just been a wonderful device for him because it looks like what everybody else has.
Exactly.
And also, you know, you can watch movies
yep.
on the iPod Touch.
Yep.
You can I have like 3 full-length movies on there. That'll
mm-hmm.
take you through a plane ride no problem.
Right,
and it
right.
fits in your pocket.
Yep.
So I think that's wonderful.
It is. And I love how you say, you know, it looks typical. You
mm-hmm.
know, some of the other, the older assistive tech devices, you know, they're clunky, they're big, they're thousands of dollars, a lot of them. You know,
yeah.
And the iPad Touch and the big one and the small one, they just look so typical. And they don't, they're like Costco, we have Costco here in New England, and they're all over the country. They're not everywhere, and I would venture that BJ's or Sam's Club has them too. You know, they have them at pretty reasonable price, and I think you can consult. You know, if you don't have the money to buy one, and no longer have a credit card, as most of us don't, you know, from the horrible financial things we've all been through, approach your local Lions Club. Approach your local Kiwanis, Knights of Columbus, B'nai B'rith, any charitable service organization, and ask them, do you have any grants? You know, I am a big fan of saying, I need help. And most of us moms especially, we really, to put it bluntly, we suck at asking for help.
I can do it myself. I can save the world.
It gets hard. It's hard to ask for help. But go, get creative and think of places where maybe you can get some sort of a grant. See if your local Autism Society has an assistive tech grant. Ask your school and see if you could maybe get some dollars to buy, you know, a couple $100 for the, what is it, an iTouch, you know, $150 or so. And the apps themselves are very cheap, you know, $1.99, $2.99. That's fairly easy for most of them. Some of them get a little bit pricey, but those are more you know, technical. But I'm a big fan of trying to be creative on where you can find some dollars to help you get what your child needs. And goodness knows, you know, there's never enough money around to do everything we want to do for our kids.
That's true. Now, there are all kinds of funding sources. Don't ever give up.
Right.
Where there's a will, there's a way, they say, right?
I hope so.
We got plenty
sort
of will.
Stealing them, and we know I've stolen from my kids too, but let's not go there. You'll have to read about that one. Yes, I am
right.
Still running to confession on Sunday for having stolen general merchandise from the Stop and Shop in Trumbull, Connecticut.
You know, you just do what you got to do.
Got to do what you got to do. That's right.
You know, you can get all kinds of apps for the iPod Touch or the iPad Touch, iPod Touch and the iPad.
Yep.
That nobody needs to know that it's Elmo, Thomas the Tank Engine, Sesame
sure.
Street. You know, they have
yep.
earphones. They can wear earphones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can be things they like in a more age-appropriate way.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at first my thought was it will never – occasionally go out for dinner, not a lot, but every so often as a treat. And my first thought, oh, I'm not bringing that. And, you know, sometimes at the end of the meal, Gianna would get really agitated. You know, she was thinking about leaving, and in thinking about leaving, it became time to leave. And she would sometimes scream and yell, and there were a couple of times in a row at our favorite place where they know us and they're kind to us. We had to do the walk of shame, you know, out the door with her screaming. And I hate that, most of all for her. You know, I don't care. Stare at me. Go ahead. You know,
right.
46. Nobody looks at me anymore. I'm getting invisible. It's but don't look at my kid. Finally I said, you know, I slipped the iPods into my handbag. If I find she needs it, I give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy. Of course, she says, there's no Wi-Fi here. There's no YouTube because there's no Wi-Fi. And she speaks, Gianna speaks in declarative sentences, and she's adorable. And she will, like, you know, Skittles are junk, remember?
Right.
So she knows she can't get YouTube, and she sort of comes to terms with it. But she will let everybody know that there is no YouTube because, darn it, there is no Wi-Fi in this place.
Yeah.
But if it
really
buys her 20 minutes, you know, if it buys her 20 minutes, I can chew my food and swallow it.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mark
uh-huh.
can finish a beer. And the grown-ups need some normal time, too. So I am not against bending the rules, throwing the rules out the window to make the kids happy so that we as a family can do something on a Saturday night.
Yeah, and just a little plug for YouTube. Thank you to all the people that videotape trains and train crossings and put it on YouTube. Because I love you. I mean, that can buy me just hours of time.
Amazing.
And he will
that
watch the
great.
Same train crossing 50 times.
Yeah.
And he'll say, oh, here it comes. So we tried to teach him to play Mario Kart because that's an age-appropriate game.
Yep, yep.
He would drive his little car to the train track and sit there and idle and watch the train go by.
All
the other racers were passing him up.
Yep.
He did not see the point of the game at all. It was
right.
to sit and idle and watch the train go by was the highlight.
Yep. Oh, that's great.
Kind of funny.
I'm grateful to the people who – I'm grateful to some, and I'm ready to – beam others. I'm ready to kill the person who ever put, do you remember Face from Nick Jr. in the mid-90s?
Yes.
Hi, it's me, Face. Okay. Gianna loves Face, and we have Face doing all sorts of things. And if I hear Face sing, there are many vegetables in my garden, red, yellow, and green, one more time, I may crack. So I'm not fond of whoever put Face up on YouTube. And Gianna can type, and she can spell, and if I delete it, she goes right back in, and I see her, oh, she's so cute, trying to spell vegetable. And she gets just enough, and, you know, Google, but if you get three letters, they find it for you. So she can always find face in the vegetable garden. But I am really grateful to when we first got the iPad, I was able to find this wonderful, kind show from the mid-90s called The Puzzle Place.
Oh, I love The Puzzle Place.
Oh, I missed that. And the theme song, you should have seen, Mia, we loved that when they were toddlers. That and Skinamarink TV and Pappy Drew It was this show out of New York that he drew in this imaginary world. And when Mia heard the theme song to The Puzzle Place, she just beamed. She looked at me like, are you kidding? It's back? Where has it been all this past decade, Mom? You know, she was so excited. So we have those on YouTube, which, assuming we have Wi-Fi, we can watch.
Exactly.
Right.
I did find where you can download videos of trains.
Yeah.
And you can download probably snippets of, like, I got Conjunction Junction, and you can download snippets of maybe The Puzzle Place and other things like that.
Yeah.
That would be.
And keep them so you can download them right in. You don't need to have them through it's not through YouTube.
Right. Right.
Cool. I have to check that out.
You'll have to Google that, as they
say. You know, if we get that, we could maybe stay for dessert at a restaurant.
That would be glorious.
That would really be glorious. Waiter, a piece of pie right now.
You know, maybe we should give Santa the iPod and make him much more appealing, pair him with positive reinforcement.
Absolutely. Hey, give him Skittles if Skittles help. You know, not every kid is going to scream at him as junk.
Junk.
Take candy from the big man with the scary beard and the red outfit. Go ahead, honey. Yeah. It could work.
Can you talk a little bit about the sadness of buying the same Elmo or the same Thomas the Tank toy every year? Because there is a sadness that comes with not getting the latest and greatest age-appropriate toy that's not what's going to make your child happy.
It is. I mean, and I firmly believe we are allowed to feel sad. You know, we're this malarkey of our kids, you know, this is a great gift, and our kids are fine, and they just think differently. My kids are severely impaired by their autism. Do they have gifts? Yes. Do they have a nice life? Yes. Would I change it tomorrow if I could borrow Hermione's wand? Yeah, I sure would. For them. No, never for me. I can do this. But for them. And I do. Funny, today I was at this darling independent drugstore in our town, and Mackenzie's, and I was in there, and I saw in the window, I haven't seen Spot the dog for a long time. Remember the Spot by Eric Hill, those books?
Yes, I do.
And we like the videos, and they're kind, and they're soft, and they're lovely. And they had this really neat plush toy. It was a pretty big Spot, and it has a blankie with him and a book. And my first thought was, oh, Mia would love that. And I was kind of happy that was my first thought rather than, oh, no, you know, it's Spot, and I guess I'll buy it for Mia, and it'll make her happy. So I've kind of gotten past the, oh, boy, another Elmo toy. But it still does. You know, I blogged on Age of Autism. We were in Target one day, all three of the girls and me, and believe me, you saw us coming. I call myself the cart Nazi. You know, hands on the cart. If my girls each have a hand on the cart, it's like, what do they call that in Harry Potter? Those things that transport them. You know, if they touch the object, it can be a boot, then they all get transported.
Yeah.
Well, that's a cart for us. So I'm always to the girls, hands on the cart, hands on the cart. And they do, you know, and we can see their little hands and go, okay, hold the cart. Mom's going to yell at us. We went through the toy aisle. And, of course, the first aisle is the Fisher-Price infant toys, and that's where all the Sesame Street stuff is. And we are a Sesame Street family, period. I have a Sesame Street story to tell you that you'll laugh. But so we went into the aisle, and Mia picked up a Sesame Street toy. She was just beaming. She was happy. She was happy. So I snapped a picture on my cell phone. I put it right up on Age of Autism and sort of talked about how that feels. You know, this is autism. And it was this gorgeous teenager with a killer figure and long brown curly hair playing with a toy 0 to 6 months. You know, it's jarring. It's jarring to you to think of that for your child. But you have to accept it. You don't have to you have to love the child, and you have to move on. I mean, I would be, we used to joke in Cleveland, the Hanna Pavilion was the psych ward at the big hospital, and we used to joke, oh, I'd be in the Hanna Pavilion. I'd be in Bellevue. I'd be in the Hanna Pavilion if I let every pain that I feel for my girls get to me. So I just try not to. I fail sometimes. I come home and cry. Put the pots and pans in the dishwasher a little too strongly. I write. Writing is therapeutic for me. Some of my writing is very sharp and very pointed and not very nice because I need to do that because this isn't a party. And it's not, we don't want to all be on this conference call. We would rather be watching Glee or, you know, America's Next whatever. But here we are. So we try to make the best of it and try to do the best we can for our kids. What else can we do?
That is the best we can do, you know.
Yep.
One of Sam's rewards for being good is going to the toy store, and he doesn't want to buy anything. He just wants to push every button on every electronic in the place. And that is, it's rewarding to him. And Fisher-Price toys and those kind of things are exactly what he wants to do. He's 13.
Yep.
But he wants to push all those buttons and see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being embarrassed or, you know, trying to steer him in another direction,
yep,
I'll go over and push him too because it's kind of fun.
Well, maybe that's his Facebook, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, think about it. Look at the things that we do as adults that are fairly perseverative routines. You know, go ahead, take my coffee away tomorrow morning. Watch what happens. Tell me I can't get onto Twitter or Facebook. You know, it's repetitive and it's what I like and I'm allowed to have it. So our kids have those things too.
It's comforting.
And it is comforting and they need comfort. The world can be, I think, really scary to them. It can be intrusive and frightening and overwhelming, and if something that simple calms them and brings them some inner peace, I say let them have it.
I wholeheartedly agree, wholeheartedly. Are there some favorite traditions that your family does? I know, is it fair to say that your girls are across the spectrum? But they're not all
well,
the same person.
They're definitely
they
not
have,
all the same.
They all
and
have different interests. And
definitely. Like Gianna gets Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
She perseverates on it. She wants a trumpet. She wants a trumpet. I mean, she wanted a trumpet last year, so we got her a trumpet. I mean, it was like $12 at the Vermont Country Store, plastic.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted that darn trumpet. She wouldn't touch it when we gave it to her. It terrified her. You know. So this year, she's saying, and Gianna's going to get a trumpet. I'm getting a trumpet. Time for the trumpet. And, you know, Santa will probably put a trumpet under the tree. Maybe this year she'll pick it up and play it. But once she had it, she didn't want it. But she definitely gets Christmas and wanting things, which is awesome. Mia doesn't. She doesn't relate it. She may inside, but she doesn't really show any interest on Christmas morning. She doesn't, you know, we help her open her gifts. She's not that interested in it. She may look at something. If it's a Sesame Street thing, she'll probably take it and go, and that'll be that. I could wrap, well, I talk about in the book, a couple years ago, Mark was out of work. He lost his job twice in 1 year. And when Christmas came, we were really, really hurting financially. And that was the year I did all of my Christmas shopping for my children at the Stop and Shop, which is like a Publix, you know, it's the grocery chain up here. And it wasn't even like a super Stop and Shop with a toy department. This was like the toy aisle at the grocery store. You can get Jax, a yo-yo, you know.
I've done plenty of shopping there, yes.
Yeah, they have a, you know, they had an Elmo phone that was plastic for $5.99. So I bought a couple of things at the Stop and Shop that year for the kids. And they didn't care.
I was going to say, they were perfectly happy.
They were perfectly happy, and that's, you know, it's better for me than it is for them, I think. But Bella, we try to pick things, you know, like this year I'm going to try to pick things that have buttons. So I'm actually going to go back and get some of those loud, obnoxious, you know, VTech toys that have the alphabet and everything, because I really want to encourage her to press buttons. And Gianna will get her trumpet and a couple of other things. And Mia, there was a Sesame Street display at Mackenzie's drugstore, and they had some really cute little dolls, Sesame Street dolls, but dressed for Christmas. And you know what? She'll love them. She'll love them. She'll carry them around with her. She'll sleep with them. She'll line them up in her bed, and they will bring her happiness. I'm going to buy them for her. That's it.
You know, if we would just all, I think, relax a little bit and try to maybe not compete. I know I have a house full of people coming to my home, and I was concerned about them seeing what my children were getting for Christmas and judging me by, you know, that, you know, that's what you got your child for Christmas?
Yeah.
So what? If it makes them happy.
Right. And, again, it's if they have a problem with it, that's about them.
It's their problem, right?
Yep.
That's right.
It just is. So.
Well, I also want to let
that's why you have wine with dinner. And maybe breakfast.
Maybe I was going to say, just dinner?
Who wants a little Bailey's in the coffee this morning?
I wanted to let everyone know that's listening in that if you are on the website and you would like to ask a question, you can raise your hand by, well, even if you're on the phone, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. So if you would like to ask a question live, press star 2, and I will see your little hand raised, and I will unmute you. All you'd have to do is say your name and your question. It's that simple.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, someone ask a live question. I'm dying to hear this.
We're getting tired of just hearing our own voices.
That's pretty
neat. Someone ask a question.
This is an amazing system.
Are there some traditions that you do with your girls that are special and meaningful to your family that you'd like to share?
You know, it's funny. We actually, that's one of the hardest things. My dad used to read, it was the night before Christmas to us. And when we get to see him, he's 88 years old, my father. And when we get to most Christmases now that we're back in New England, we spend all of our Christmases with my mom and dad, whether here or there. And they live up in Massachusetts. And so, like, last year, we were with my dad and my mom. My dad brings out the book, and he says, you know, let me know when you want me to read the book to the girls. My girls don't give one tiny hoot. They won't sit. They won't listen. And I know it bothers him. It doesn't bother me because, again, it's not life or death. But we do, you know, we go to church on Christmas morning. We do the stockings. We do the gifts. We do the big meal. I usually, you know, we definitely leave cookies for Santa. You know, Gianna gets that. And I make me and Bella come with me. I make them carry a plate, and I walk them through it. So they have that. They, even if they don't seem to be participating, I know they're participating. Mia, for instance, tonight, I don't know what I was in the kitchen, and her computer's in the family room, and they're attached. And I said something, and Mia just chimed in with something perfectly appropriate to the conversation. She's always listening.
Always listening, Sam is too.
Always. We go to Catholic Church, and Mia is reading two copies of Polar Bear, Polar Bear. That's what she brings to church, one and two, and she turns them page by page, you know, this one, and then she turns the other one. And she has her Halloween decorations, that little felt Halloween decorations that she made 2 years ago that she carries with her. And we are maybe the only people who bring vampires into a Catholic church every Sunday. I don't care. Little vampire boy makes Mia happy. So the vampire is coming to church. And he does. And she's very quiet. She doesn't read the missalette. She doesn't stand. She just sits. And 2 minutes before we're about to say during the Mass, peace be with you, she looks right at me and she says, it's time for peace.
Wow.
She's well aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I do drag her self through some of the Christmas traditions, so I know she has them. Cookies for Santa, you know, sparkly stuff for the reindeer, some corn out, whatever it is for the reindeer, and we talk through everything. So I know that those memories are in their head, whether they vocalize them or not. I know they're there.
Yep, and it matters.
It does.
It matters to them.
Yep.
And that's important. Hey, we have someone with their hand raised, so I'm going to unmute them and let them ask their question. Remember to state your name and ask your question.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hi, my name is Melissa, and I'm calling to find out how you handle aggression over the holidays. My child is moderately autistic, and he, well, it's actually a pervasive development disorder, but he also has oppositional defiant disorder and ADHD. So, I was listening to your comment earlier about how a lot of children with autism tend to be very beautiful children. And I would say that mine is as well. He is cute that we get so much attention because of how cute he is. Like, strangers just come up to us all the time because he's so cute. And he doesn't like that. He gets very upset and yells in their face and screams, and even with family members, people that he's used to, if they get in his face, he, you know, oh, good job, or you're so cute, or, you know, things like that. He just, he hates it. And how do you handle that?
What is his bubble of security? 2 feet, 4 feet, 6 feet? If you were to have family members, train your family members to back off a bit, would that help?
I think so. We tried to use, like, the arm's length. You know, I tried to do that with people, but my family, I think this is so hard for all of us because I have a very supportive family, but the hard part is that we're such an affectionate family. Like, everybody hugs and kisses, and we're a large family, and so it's not that they're not respectful of it, it's just that they forget.
Well, if he were your grandmother wearing one of those neck collars like the guy in the Brady Bunch from Whiplash and maybe on crutches, they would know physically not to, you know, Uncle Jimmy would know not to give Grandma a bone-crushing hug, right? So you're going to have to train them. Put on your SeaWorld hat, bring a fish, and train them. This is what I need you to do. What's your son's name?
Austin.
Austin. This is what I need your help. Austin loves to come. He loves you. It frightens him when people get close to him. I know it seems strange to you. We love you dearly, but it definitely can set him off, and I really would like all of us to have a happy day. If you could just, you know, wave to him from across the room and kind of ignore him. I won't think you're ignoring him, but he'll be happy. Could you do that for me and see if they do? And have some sort of a stupid sign. I mean, it's family. You can do all sorts of dumb stuff, you know. Have a sign. So if you see your sister forgetting, because we're human and we forget and our instinct is to be loving. I mean, we're an Italian family. Yeah, we hug, we kiss. Have a sign, you know, it's a peace sign, or it's a, you know, come up with a not so rude gesture with your hand that you could flash to sort of remind them and see if you could gently back them off from him.
Okay,
Melissa.
Yeah.
Is Austin verbal at all? Did you say?
Yeah, he's pretty verbal, but he is hard to understand in some instances, and I think it's because he actually tries to use larger words and nobody can understand the larger words.
I was just wondering if
he's not quite five, so.
Okay. I was just wondering if you might teach him to let people know he needs space. Let him speak himself.
Yeah. You could probably hear him in the background. He's yelling.
And so my son's 13, and I'm trying to teach him to say, tell them you need some space.
Back up
and say space.
And I think the hard part is there's so many other little kids that are in the family, like my second, it'd be my second cousins, and they're about his age. And hard to get them to understand that Austin is different and that he needs help. You know, with that space issue. And I think, you know, just like what you said, I need to probably train his mom or their mom to, you know, maybe talk with them when they're around and explain it in a way that she can make them understand, because I'm not around them a lot. I don't know how to make them understand, you know, how to handle him. So,
like, picture a hula hoop around him.
I was just thinking that, Nancy. Or
a hula hoop?
If there's an armchair that he could sit in, and that would be his spot, or a beanbag chair. And even if you had to travel, you know, go to Target and pick up an inexpensive beanbag chair and put it someplace comfortable for him and say, you know, that's Austin, you know, Austin, when you need space and you need a place to go, that's your chair. You can relax there. And, you know, for the other people, that's Austin's spot.
Yeah.
Maybe that would give him someplace where he would feel he could go safely and respectfully.
That's a good idea. We have a chair here that he sits at home. Maybe I could just bring that with us, and it'd be recognizable that that's his chair, you know.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
You're
Melissa.
Welcome. Happy holidays, Melissa.
All right. That was good. Yeah, having their own space, that's very important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. For all of us, right?
Right. I know when I take my son to an unfamiliar place, he wants to know where he can go if he needs to. And so, yeah, designating that as soon as you get there would be good. We've had participants here asking about, we're going to my aunt's house this year. We've never been there before. How do we prepare for going to a new place that they've never been before? So that would be a good suggestion, is to have take along a familiar object like a beanbag chair or a chair that the child knows. That is my spot. It's a good one.
You know, it sounds sort of, you know, like pet training, but why not give them something that comforts them? And it makes their life happier first and foremost, and then you get the added benefit of the happy child.
Yay.
That's kind of one of the things I do when I enter a party or something, is you kind of just get a feel for your space.
Right.
So it's no different for them.
Yep.
Okay, let's take another call. Anthony? Hello?
Oh, hi. Hello?
Oh, hi. Yeah, your name came across as Anthony. Hi.
Oh, it's Raquel. How are you? I didn't understand. Sorry. I'm just happy to be listening in on this because I don't really have, like, a strong circle of parents that have autistic children. So I find it really difficult. I'm in Fairfield, Connecticut, and I have a 5-year-old daughter, Nina. And I have her, she's very aggressive when she's frustrated, and it's basically because she's nonverbal. And I'm just having a hard time managing that. It's just, like, overwhelming. She'll just, like, pull your hair or try to scratch you, and I keep her nails really short. But still, it catches us off guard, and it's just disruptive. And I'm just wondering if you come across that and how to handle that.
Well, do you want to open up your back door, and I'll open up my back door, and I'll scream as loud as I can because I'm in Trumbull.
Right. I know. It's so amazing. Yeah.
We live about 10 miles from each other, I think.
Yeah.
Well, my Bella scratches. My Bella gets, when she's nervous or when she can't communicate, which is, you know, always, she scratches. And she pinches.
Yeah.
So we've given her beads, you know, things that she can put in her hands that she can keep her hands busy. You know, we've taught her quiet hands. We have, you know, on her iPad, and we have a PEX card still, quiet hands. And if it gets to hurt, you know, sometimes if you see me at Trader Joe's down there in town, you know, I look like a heroin addict. My arms are black and blue. I've got scabs on my forearms.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good, winter, yay, protection, and nobody can see my arms. If it gets bad, you know, we're tough with her. It's not acceptable behavior, period, end of story. Stupid, they're not. So, no, you cannot scratch me, you cannot hurt me, because it's bad when she does it to you or your husband or her friends. It's worse when she does it at school, you know, because you need – our kids don't get a pass for behavior, because as they get older – the behaviors have more social consequences.
Right.
And more school consequences. So we're always trying to find out. For Bella, sometimes it was she had to use the bathroom. So having lots of little pictures of the toilet around. We have to lock our bathrooms because Bella likes to play in the toilet. We call that a crapisode.
Yeah.
One poop, she doesn't flush, Bella plays in it. Boy, it's horrendous. So Bella can't always get into the bathroom. And so she gets agitated, and she might lash out. So, you know, I'm sure you're always trying to find what your daughter is, what's setting her off. and then try to give her something that will calm her or keep her hands busy. Does she scratch, you said? Is that her biggest thing?
She scratches, she pinches, she pulls hair. Yeah, and she's getting stronger, so it's getting more aggressive. Like, you
our
know,
kids are crazy. Our kids are crazy strong, aren't they? What is that?
Yeah.
Mia is like a bull, 5 foot two, 105 pounds. She's so strong, though. Like, even my husband will say, I can't believe how strong she is. So, do the teachers have a behavior? What do the teachers say? Do you have a behavior plan in school? Fairfield's got a pretty good program. Do you have a behavior plan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they just talk about it more like, you know, they'll put her hands down, and they just seem to be more in control of her frustration level because they're able to communicate better through the textbooks, and now she just got a Dynavox box.
Oh, great.
You know, one of those. And that's not, it's not programmed perfectly for the home yet, so... So that's why we're not there yet, but I'm hoping that it'll help. Or even, like, going out to a restaurant, and she'll be, like, you know, she can't even wait to be seated, and it's, like, this flailing, scary episode, and it's just embarrassing. And she's, like, you know, throwing her whatever she has in her hand. And I'm usually, if I'm by myself, it's just overwhelming. So, I just go to the same place, and it's just easy. But still, it's not, you know, it doesn't kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. Are you on, if you don't mind my asking, you don't have to answer, are you on any sort of a special diet? Have you looked at gluten-free, casein-free, or any of the other SCD or anything?
Yeah, no, she's completely, she's been for a long time on
she has,
all
okay.
of that.
So you've already tackled all of that.
Yes. And then she's, like, on multiple vitamins. I'm a big believer, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really helped her immune system because she used to get sick so often, and now she doesn't. I mean, she's
That's
much
great.
More stable
if you're working with a naturopath or a doctor for that or any sort of a provider, maybe talk about the aggression, too. Is there sometimes it can sometimes – let's talk poop. Sometimes it can be parasites. We've dealt with pinworms often over the years. That can cause aggression. You know, I always try to look inside first. I figure my girls are angels by nature. They're not mean.
Yeah.
They don't have a mean. They don't lie. They're not mean. They're not nasty. I mean, that seems to be across the board for autism. So when they act in that kind of a way, I assume first there's something going on internally. Stomach ache, headache, constipation, diarrhea. It's something. And I try to tackle it from the inside out.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I was, like, I'm really interested in, like, removing yeast because I haven't done that yet. And I'm just having a feeling that she does that because she just has a lot of symptoms, like teeth grinding and things that I've read about. But I guess I have to get her gut stronger, and I'm, like, giving her all these vitamins to do that. But it just seems to be taking forever, so it's just hard to get to that next step.
Yeah.
Have you done yeast removal at all?
We have, absolutely. I mean, there's some great over-the-counter, very safe, natural treatments. You know, go down to Mrs. Green's on Post Road. Look at us chatting like we're right next door, because we are. There's some really natural treatments that are non-invasive, not harmful. You always want to decrease sugar down to zero or as much as you can. No juice, no fruit, sugar-free yeast. That's their Thanksgiving dinner every day. And teeth grinding, I always look for parasites if there's teeth grinding. You guys all want to go to mute for a second. When she's sleeping at night, get a flashlight and shine it into her bum. And if she has pinworms, they will crawl down to the light. And the hallmark of pinworms is teeth grinding and agitation and poor sleep.
Holy wow.
Yeah.
So that's unbelievable.
It's a family. We're talking worms. Hello?
Yeah, I'm afraid to do that and see it. I'll freak out, but no.
You won't freak out. They're tiny. They look like little white threads. They're tiny, and then
get that?
But toddlers get them all the time. I had them as a kid. I remember taking this horrible red medicine as a child. So there, now you can all tell everybody Kim had worms as a child.
Gross.
Toddlers get them all the time. You know, they're in the dirt. They lick their hands. You know, they're not that. It's a very common childhood parasitic infection.
So
you could ask your pediatrician about it. Look them up. Pinworms. Pin, like P-I-N.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
Yeah.
They wreak havoc on the system, and they tend to gravitate to a child who has a compromised gut. And if they're yeast, they go hand in hand.
Okay. That's crazy. I'll definitely
I know.
Yeah.
Sweet dreams.
No, I have so many more questions. Do you have, like, a website so you can ask questions? Like, I don't want to take up all the time.
Sure. Send me an email. Send me an email. Send me an email. We'll hook up. We'll go down to Starbucks. We'll have a coffee. My email is Kim Stagliano. It's K-I-M.
Yeah, I did. I checked you on Facebook. Like, I think I'm one of the
friends. Oh, well, come over and friend me. Come friend me. We'll talk.
Yeah, I did that already. I just have to actually write something now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do that.
Thanks, Raquel.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
So can you tell me more about Rescue Remedy? You mentioned it earlier.
Sure. Sure. Rescue Remedy is the Bach company. It's like one of the oldest. They make flower essences, and you can look up what flower essences are. There are different essences that almost like a homeopathic that will evoke changes in the body. They're non-toxic. Rescue Remedy is an anti-anxiety over-the-counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow packaging comes in pastilles. It comes in a spray. There's a kid's version. The adult version is made with alcohol in it, and it's an alcohol from grape. I've consulted with them. It's not a wheat-based alcohol. You spray it on your tongue. I mean, you would have to drink a gallon of Rescue Remedy, I'm sure. It's not, you know, you just literally spray a spritz on your tongue, so there's nothing to it. But they do make a kid's version that doesn't have the alcohol. Personally, I'm all for the alcohol for the kids if it helps them sleep. But,
I'm saying.
again, here comes Child Services.
I know.
And it is a great product. I use it. They have a daydream product. They have a sleep product. And it just, you spray it in your mouth and it just ratchets you down. And as you can hear, I'm fairly high strung. So
no.
I love this stuff. I have a cabinet full of it, and Whole Foods has them. All the natural food stores have them. It's called Rescue Remedy, and the company is called Bach, like Johann Sebastian.
Mm. Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
I could use maybe a case of that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to come out with the supersize.
Yeah. Buckle it in the seat next to me. In the car.
With a straw, please. Forget the spray. With the spray. I'll just take the IV.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all natural.
Well, I feel like we're having a real autism chat now with a real family since we have conquered worms. It's not an autism chat unless you talk about worms.
Yeah, and you know, that's not just an autism thing either. My typical son had pinworms when he was little. So it's
they're
very
common.
Common.
I mean,
yeah.
They gross us out, but they're extremely common and treatable and misery for the kids. Misery.
Right.
And they're like, it's like having lice in the house. You have to treat the household just like you've had lice, washing everything in hot water, you know, vacuuming. It's a process.
Yes. Yes, it definitely is. All right, let's take another call. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Caller, hello? Can you state your name?
I didn't get a chance to say my name, so this is Tamara. I'm in Florida.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Okay, I have a question. We have multiple disabilities in our house, and since our son was diagnosed with autism, we also have another son who has Tourette's, and then we found out that my husband is pretty, I would call him Asperger's, but he's never been diagnosed.
Okay.
And so the holidays are just hell. It's like he hates everything about it, the stuff, the people, the planning. And it's just, you know, things have ground to a halt. And then I have some, you know, we have typical kids, too, and I'm trying to figure out how well do I blend it so everybody wins. And I thought maybe you guys have some tips.
Wow. Is this before or after you solved the Middle East peace crisis?
That might be easier.
I think so.
Watching sensory needs between your husband and your kids, I just don't even know how to win.
I mean, I guess you have to set up a hierarchy of what's conquerable, what's fixable, what's teachable, and chip away at each of them, without getting intimate or anything. Where's the center of the issue that you have? Is it how your husband interacts with you? I mean,
the holidays they always seem to be flat because we can never get it together because there's so many different needs
sure.
and you know, you wake up on Christmas and you want to have that joyous time, and all he can see is wrapping paper and boxes that need to be put away and toys that need to be put away. And, you know, meanwhile, I'm trying to get Noah to actually, like, look at a present.
Right,
I mean,
I know.
He likes odd things like quarters and springs and little things, and so Christmas is hard. You know, you buy him the typical toys. He may not really pay attention to them, and so it overwhelms my husband. So I didn't know if anybody else had dealt with that. Do you just give up on it? Say we're not going to celebrate.
No, but you might move things around a little bit. I mean, what if you set out on Christmas Eve? You know, when you set out the toys for the kids, maybe put out a trash bag with a bow on it and say, this is, you know, and every present you open, I mean, my mom used to do that. Two big black trash bags, hefty bags, would come out, and as we opened the gifts, the paper went into the bags because she couldn't stand, you know, I love that look of, you know, open wrapping paper all over the place, and my kids like to crunch it. So, but maybe that would be, you know, if that's something that's upsets your husband. My husband's a neat freak, so he's forever, I'm not. So we're like Felix Unger and Oscar Madison. So maybe that would be a simple, you know, put the trash can out for the wrapping paper, and maybe give him that job. If that would give him sense of control, and he knows that none of that's going to be on the floor, then when the presents are open, the room is still, you know, kind of tidy. Maybe that would start the morning off cleanly for him and make him feel good.
And you know, is there any way to deal with the fact that it is supposed to be kind of chaos? And how do I make it so that he gets like a sensory kind of training in that? Yeah, it is supposed to be a little wild on Christmas morning when you have five.
It is. It is, but he still may not like it.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't, he doesn't. So turn the Christmas carols down, and or maybe put something that he likes in the background that would be soft, that would maybe divert him a little bit, even if it's Bruce Springsteen on Christmas morning. Maybe make sure the first gift is something he has to build and get him busy, you know, give him a Barbie dream house or something, or that and a screwdriver, and say, why don't you start with this? Maybe that would occupy him.
Maybe fill his stocking with Rescue Remedy.
That's an idea.
Coffee cup full of whiskey.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Here's your Xanax. Merry Christmas.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
There it is.
There's the reason why eggnog has alcohol in it.
Yeah, and then do you guys have any tips? You know, Noah does not get the religion part at all.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, whatever path you're going on Easter, we go out to sunrise service. And I'm like, yay, Jesus is alive, or Jesus rose from the grave, and he yells in the middle of sunrise service, Jesus is dead. And you're just kind of like, but he's alive now, you know, and he just, it falls flat on him. So have you guys...
How old is he?
He's almost 4, and so I know he's a little young, but for him, he's just very, you know, there's just very down reality-based, I guess is a good way to put it.
Sure, well, literal, and that sort of goes with the diagnosis to a large degree. You got anything? That's a little tougher than Skittles or junk.
I'd say just social stories again.
Yeah,
would really help with you know, trying to explain the religion part and then keeping it appropriate to the situation.
Okay.
Board. He's little, so board books about the holidays are easy. Maybe let him bring a board book into the service with you that he can read. Look at anyway.
And they are little sponges, little SpongeBob cheeses, where they're absorbing everything that's going on around them, whether they can express their understanding or not. I truly believe that my son gets something out of church, whether he's actively participating or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of go with it and hope it sinks in eventually, and it might take 5 years before
you know, most 4-year-olds don't, I don't think they they get much of any religious service except for the visual part of it, and they hear it, and it's over their head to a large degree. I would think of church or synagogue or mosque right now as more letting the community get to know you and,
okay.
and an opportunity for him to be included in the community. That's sort of how we've looked at church over the last few years. We didn't go to church for a long time. It was just too hard. When we came to Connecticut, we were able to get back, and now all three girls have made their first Holy Communion. Bella made her first. They all had to make their first confession first. They had nothing to confess. I mean, I said to the priest, my kids don't sin. They have autism. These kids don't sin. And two of them really don't speak. So did they know what they were doing? No, but they made the sacraments. Does Mia know exactly what communion is about when she goes? Probably not. But the community sees her, and they embrace her, all three of them. And then when we see them outside, Stop and Shop or someplace, they get more smiles. So for us, church has been a lot about not getting religion into them. I think they have religion in their own way. They just have a godly quality, these kids. And for us, it's been more about letting the community get to know these girls, let the community get to know your son in an atmosphere they hope is kind. It's not always. We've gotten dirty looks in church. I'm sure you have too. But use it as a sort of a teachable moment for everybody to bring him more inclusion.
True. Okay, well, I appreciate it, and I won't. I'm glad you guys are out there for us.
Thank you, Tama.
Thank you.
Oh, wait.
Oops, I cut her off. Well, she'll just have to submit her question the old-fashioned way. Sorry, Tama. I did have one more question that came through from the website I wanted to ask you, because it's not one that we've gotten yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Danette in Lemoore, California. And she says, you haven't mentioned the interaction from your husband between your girls. How does he
mm-hmm.
handle the autism issues compared to you? And how have you both stayed sane through all of this?
Well, actually, fantastically. It's taken time. It wasn't as, typically the mom takes ownership of the autism, I think, in the family,
mm-hmm.
and the dad goes to work. That's sort of traditional, and for most of us, it's how it starts. Even if we have to quit our jobs, we kind of jump on the education and treatment and doctor bandwagon, and the husband's sink or float, right? Mine has risen to the challenge. We're very fortunate. I hear that statistic. I'm not sure I believe the statistic about that giant divorce rate.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law told me many years ago, Kim, some years marriage is great, other years marriage isn't. It's up and down. You hope it evens out. You hope it averages to something good. And she's right. There have been years that have been terrible, years that have been great, but he is a wonderful dad, and he has his own way of doing things, and it's not always my way of doing things, and sometimes it's more about my letting go than
mm-hmm.
his doing something right or wrong. And he does. I mean, I went to Florida for the weekend. He was here with them. I don't think twice. He can do it. He
yeah.
does it better than I do in a lot of ways. He's a lot more organized, so that's good.
Well, that's good to hear.
The warrior dads, they're the greatest. I mean, they're just the greatest. There's nothing sexier than a dad taking care of his kids. Don't you think?
I agree wholeheartedly.
So we went from worms to sex. Yay!
Yay! We are almost finished here. I did want to tell everyone while you're still on the line and on the web that our next webinar will be on November 30th, and we will be talking about part of the puzzle is good nutrition, Prescription for a Healthy Life with Dr. Jan Roberto and Kim Norman. So please make a note in your calendar to join us on November 30th. We'll be talking more about nutrition that day. And also, if you want a transcript of this event, please join the Spectrum Gold Club. You can click the button on your screen on the website, on the MomsFightingAutism.com website. And you'll get a copy of the webinar audio and transcript, plus they will send you 29 other webinars when you join, 29 other webinars. Also, tell us what you think. Call us at 877-211-0212, extension 1, and leave a short comment or a testimonial. That number again is 877-211-0212. And I want to thank Kim for being part of our discussion today. You've been awesome.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone else for joining us and for your awesome questions. Without you, it would just be Kim and I sitting here having a chat.
And that would be nice, too, but I'm glad everybody was here. I hope you enjoyed the book. I hope it helps you. I hope it makes you feel good. And find me on Facebook at Kim Stagliano.
Yes, everyone needs to run out and buy their own copy of All I Can Handle, I'm No Mother Teresa. It's an awesome book. Thanks again,
Kim. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays, everybody.
You too. Thanks, Kim.